Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
You could say that there are two types of people in the world. There are list people, people who have all kinds of lists always going on, and there are non-list people. Are any of you list people? Yes, I am a list person. I have all kinds of lists. I have a list of things I need to get done for work. I have a list of things I need to get at the grocery store. I have a list of my favorite movies of all time in order. I have a list of movies I have not yet seen but want to. When my family goes to like an amusement park, we go with a list of what we're going to do in what order, including when the kids can go to the bathroom. Like, they'll be like, but Dad, I really need to go. And I'm like, 72 minutes when we get to that part on the list. I also have a list of some life goals. It's kind of a bucket list sort of thing. And I think Jeff asked you earlier if you guys would tweet or text in some of your life goals. And so let's see if we got anything from you. If not, this will be awkward. I want to live in a country other than the United States for a minimum of a year before I die. That's really cool. All right, somebody wants to go out and live in somewhere else, see the world. Any others? Learn how to be a trapeze artist. Very cool, interesting, daring. And reunite with a pack of wolves that raised me. Really? We still haven't learned our lesson. We're still asking the questions, and you guys keep doing this. Thank you very much. Good luck with that. I think part of the reason some of us like to put things on lists is because when you put something on a list, it moves us towards a goal, right? It's like, okay, now I have this goal that I'm going after. It may be something as simple as buying milk on the way home from work or as big as seeing a game at every Major League Baseball park, right? But we set goals in life, and we tend to put them on lists. We might have financial goals or work goals. And when we set that goal, now we have a goal, but it also puts us on a path, right? When we put that down, it's like I'm now moving on this path towards this goal. And taking that path, as I kind of move along, it changes who I am. It really does. When you set a goal and you start moving towards it, you become a different person as that journey continues. And at the end of the path, there's a prize, right? There's some sort of reward. That's why you had the goal in the first place. And so there's a sense of accomplishment that you'll gain, and there's this reward, this prize of whatever it is that you're going to get because you accomplished that goal. And listen, all of that is true spiritually as well. Spiritually, there is a path that we're on. That path has us moving towards something. Along the way, as we journey, we're becoming a different kind of person. And at the end of the path, there's a prize. There's this reward that we're moving towards. And all that leads to some really important questions that we probably need to ask ourselves regularly. Questions like, what path am I on? You know, what's my goal? What kind of person is this path leading me to become? And what's the reward? What's the prize that I'm shooting for at the end of this path? The last few weeks, we've been studying through a book in the New Testament of the Bible called Philippians. And Philippians was written by a guy named Paul, inspired by God. And this guy, Paul, he was one of the early Christians. And these last few weeks, we've learned quite a bit about his life. And more importantly, I think, about the better life that God has for us. And if you haven't been here, if you've missed that, you can go back and listen to or watch those messages on our website. But today we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you don't have a Bible, no big deal. We'll put the verse on the screen for you. If you don't own a Bible, we give them away. Free gift back at the Velcro bar. There's no catch. It's like, yeah, but what do you want? We don't want anything. Just grab a Bible. So let's check out Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to start in verses 3 through 6. And what we're going to see in Philippians chapter 3 is that this guy Paul discusses two different paths that he had taken in life. And these two different paths led him to become two different kinds of people along those paths. And they were moving towards two very different kinds of goals. So starting in verse 3. He says, for it is we who are the circumcision, and I'll explain all this stuff in a minute. He says, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Faultless. So in verses 3 through 6, we discover path 1. Okay, the first path. And we're going to call this the path of religion. Okay, path 1 is the path of religion. This is the person who puts their confidence in themselves. Now, my guess is some of you hear the path of religion and you think, well, that's not me. I'm not religious at all. But you might be. Because when you really get to the essence of it, religion is putting your confidence in yourself. If you're the kind of person who puts your confidence in yourself, that's religion. It's what Paul in this passage calls confidence in the flesh. He's saying confidence in me. And that was the path that Paul used to be on. He was trying to be good enough to earn God's approval. And Paul says, listen, if anyone has ever been good enough to earn God's approval, I mean, it was me. And then what he does is he kind of presents his religious resume. He's like, do you want to know how good I was? And he goes through this list of things that are a little confusing to us, but he says he was circumcised. And the reason he points that out is because back then that was considered a mark of being in a covenant with God. He says he was born as one of Israel's favorite tribes, the tribe of Benjamin, which was the home of Israel's first king. It was like, that was kind of special status. And not only that, but he was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were people who had like given their lives to obeying the laws of God and a bunch of other laws that people had added to God's law. And he's like, I was all about following God's law. And he says, not only that, I was zealous for God. He was so zealous that he actually took part in killing people because he thought it would earn him points with God. Okay, and so he's like, in my eyes back then, that was a good thing. And so he says, you want to talk about following the rules. You want to talk about having confidence in yourself and being able to show yourself as someone special and approved. I had it. And maybe there's a sense in which you can relate. Now, perhaps you used to be on this path. Or maybe some of you, whether you realize it or not, are still on this path. Maybe what you're trying to do in life is build a resume. Maybe it's a resume, like Paul, of accomplishments so that I can be good enough and earn God's approval. And so for you, maybe you take pride in how much you know. How much you know. Like maybe how much you know about the Bible. And the more knowledge you have, the more you can kind of put confidence in yourself. Or maybe you take pride in what you do. And so if you've gone to church much, it may be things like, I read the Bible, and I pray, and I tithe, and I volunteer. And so that kind of makes you feel like, I'm doing the right things to earn God's approval. Maybe it's things you don't do. You're like, I don't curse. Well, not too much, certain situations. But you take pride in that. You feel good because what you're doing is you're checking things off your religious to-do list. Right? To you, this whole thing is a to-do list. And if you're on the path of religion, some signs, you probably care more about appearances than about being authentic. That's a sign of religion. Like you care about what other people think because religion is all about me and impressing God, impressing people. You probably look down on other people who aren't as good as you. That's a sign of religion. So with this path, the goal, okay, there's this goal out there, and the goal is to be good enough for God. I want to earn God's approval. What kind of people do we become? Because remember, on this journey towards our goal, we become a different kind of person, right? What kind of person do we become? Judgmental, holier than thou, a person who thinks they're better than everyone else, unapproachable because I'm special. You know any religious people like that? You know what the problem is? The problem is that Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus never acted superior. He never judged people. Except, interestingly, the only people we see him kind of judging are religious people who thought they were better than everyone else. Jesus may have been the most approachable person who ever lived. You read through the stories of his life, it's interesting. Like, everywhere he went, the people in that town who were considered the most sinful, the most wicked and evil, those people would just come right up to Jesus. They would never go up to religious people, but they went right up to Jesus because he wasn't judgmental. He was not holier than thou. He was approachable. On the religious path, the goal is to be good enough to earn God's approval and impress people. The type of person we become along that path is holier than thou, judgmental, unapproachable. What's the prize? Because remember, right, when we set this goal, there's this reward, this prize that we're hoping for. Well, the prize is heaven for a religious person. You know, they want to go to heaven. They have this attitude of, if I live the right way, I'll end up in the right place. If I just live the right way, I'll end up in the right place. But there's a problem, and it's a big problem. The problem is that this path is actually a dead end. It doesn't get you to heaven. It's a dead end. Let me give you three reasons. First, because the goal is unclear. The goal is unclear because the goal is to be good enough for God. But how good is good enough? I mean, if you have to be good enough for God, how good is that? Some people don't know the answer, and man, they struggle their whole lives wondering, have I done enough? Am I good enough? Does me doing this bad thing kind of put me on the wrong side of the ledger? Other people, they don't wrestle with this because they've determined, I think what good enough is this, and I meet that standard. But the problem is, they determined it. And we don't get to determine what's good enough for God and what's good enough to get into heaven. God does. Right? God does. And what God says is that to have a relationship with me, God says, and to get into heaven, you have to be perfect. That's the standard. It's perfection. The only way to be good enough for God and good enough to get into heaven is to be perfect. And that's the second problem with this path, with this goal, is that not only is it unclear, but the goal is unattainable. It's unattainable. No amount of human effort or goodness can ever bridge the gulf that our sin puts between us and God. The Bible says that even one sin, even if you manage to get through life and just screw up one time, even one sin knocks us off this path of being good enough for God and getting into heaven. So we'll put these verses on the screen, but James chapter 2, verse 10 says, whoever keeps the whole law, you do it all right, and yet stumbles at just one point, is guilty of breaking all of it. So on this path, the goal has to be perfection, but the Bible tells us this hard truth about ourselves. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In other words, all this work we're doing, this spiritual resume we're trying to put together that someday we can present to God, you know, with all this pride, really it's useless because this path is a dead end, and really, I mean, honestly, is this the kind of path you want to go down? I don't think so, because the third problem with this path is that the goal is unfulfilling. It's unfulfilling. Think about it this way. Could you ever really love someone who makes you earn their favor? Could you ever love someone like that? Now, let's say your wife or your husband every morning gave you a list of, like, chores to do. Okay, here's your list for today. And they tell you every day, if you do a great job getting all these things done, I'll be here at the end of the day, and we'll still have this relationship. If you don't get all this done, I probably won't be here, and our relationship is probably over. Think about that. Well, like, even if for some reason you chose to do that, you said, okay, that if that's the system, I'll do it. Your marriage is not about love, right? It's about an obligation. Really, it's not a relationship at all. It's a list. It's a to-do list. Love cannot be something you earn. And this path is unfulfilling because what people are trying to do is earn God's approval. But that's not what we want. What we're after in life is love, right? And so the path is unfulfilling. And I wonder, if this is the path you're on, whether you realize it or not. Is this the path you're on? Be honest. Is your relationship with God and your thoughts about how you're someday going to get into heaven, is it based on a to-do list? Is it based on, you know, whatever you think it is that you need to do? You know, do some nice things for people, check. Or read the Bible, check. Or pray some prayers, check. Or give some money away, check. That I'm doing things that I think are going to make me good enough that God will smile and say, all right, get in here, you get to go to heaven. And when you've done those things, do you have this sense that, okay, I've accomplished salvation. I've accomplished what I need to accomplish, and now I just kind of wait and hang on till heaven, you know, and then I'll get in there. If so, that's religion. That's religion. In your life, especially if you're a Christian, in your Christian life, do you have this feelings of emptiness, boredom, shame, apathy? Those are pretty clear signs of religion. Of religion. And if so, you're probably on path one, which means you're pursuing the wrong goal. It's taking you down the wrong path. You're becoming the wrong kind of person as you go down that path. And you have this goal, this prize of getting into heaven someday, but really your path is a dead end and it's not going to get you in. And you don't want to be on path one. You really don't. And honestly, most people are. People who go to church, most of them are on the path of religion. And everyone who doesn't go to church is on the path of religion. Basically, I think everyone. Because when they get to heaven, it's going to be like, yeah, I lived a good life. Right? It's the path of religion. What you want to be on is path two. Okay, path two is way better. So what is path two? Well, let's look at these next verses in Philippians, verses 7 through 11. Paul writes, "But what after giving his resume, right, he just kind of presented, here's all my accomplishments. Then he says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, from being good, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." So here's an idea. So Paul had been on path one, right? And here he explains in kind of bombastic language that he had discarded path one. He had jumped off of that train and had gotten on a different path. And he says, in fact, my religious resume, all the things I used to be proud of, he says, now I think of them as garbage. Want to hear something interesting? The word that we have translated garbage, the actual word that Paul wrote in his language doesn't really mean garbage. It means crap. Actually, more literally, it means, you know. Okay, but the Bible translators were very concerned about your sensitive ears. And so they're like, we don't want to get like the R rating, so let's garbage we'll do. Like, they'll get the idea. But that's not what he said. He said, I consider all the good things I had tried to do for God, crap, crap. Paul's saying, listen, I have completely rejected path one. In fact, I wish I didn't have those resume of impressive things, because maybe it's going to be a temptation for me to go back to path one. You know, to someday think, maybe I could earn God's approval, and I know that I never could, so I wish I didn't have that resume in my past. He says, I am now on a new path. And here's a new path. Here's path two. It's the path of faith. Not faith in myself, but faith in Jesus. He says that twice in verse 9. He says, this is all about Jesus. It's not me trying to be good enough to present myself someday to God. Instead, it's putting my confidence in Jesus, that he was good enough for God. And he said, and someday I plan on being in God's good graces. Today I'm in God's good graces, but not because of me, because of Jesus. So that's path two. It's a path of faith. What's the goal, right? And we said this path leads us to this goal. The goal, verse 10, Paul writes, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. That's the goal. In fact, in verse 10, Paul says, I want to know Jesus so much that if suffering would somehow help me to know Jesus more, sign me up. I don't want to suffer. No one wants to suffer. But if suffering would help me know Jesus more, I'll suffer because I just want to know Jesus. That's the goal, to know Jesus. It's interesting. So this word know that we have in our English Bible is translated from the word in the original language that Paul wrote. It's the word gnosko. And the word gnosko refers to a very specific kind of knowledge. It's a knowledge that is gained through personal experience. Okay? Not a knowledge gained through study or observation or research. You can gain knowledge that way too, but that's not this word. This word means a knowledge gained only through personal experience. One time several years ago, I went and saw this guy speak at like a conference-y kind of thing, a dinner conference thing, Steve Largent. Steve Largent was a football player. He's one of the best wide receivers in the history of the NFL. And he later, after he retired, became a senator from Oklahoma. And so Steve Largent was speaking, and he said, you know what happens to me every single day? I'll be in a restaurant or I'll be in an airport, and somebody will come up to me and be like, Steve Largent, you're Steve Largent. I know all about you. I know you. And then they'll start saying something like they'll say, man, you were an All-American in college. I watched. Or they'll say, man, you were like a Pro Bowler for the Seattle Seahawks. Or they'll say, I was there the day that you broke Charlie Joyner's all-time receiving record. Or they'll say, man, when you got inducted to the Hall of Fame, man, I was watching on TV. Or they'll say, I voted for you in the election. Or I was there when you were sworn into office. And then Steve Largent said this. He said, man, these people know all about me, but they don't know me. They think they know me, but they don't know me. They just know about me. And there are a lot of people who know about Jesus. And just knowing about Jesus is a path one kind of thing. You know? And they might be able to tell you things. They might be able to say, man, he was born in Bethlehem, son of God, mother was named Mary, turned water into wine, taught about loving people, 12 disciples, was crucified, raised again like 3 days later, rose from the dead. They know all about Jesus, but that doesn't mean they know Jesus. You can know all about Jesus and not know Jesus. Path two is about knowing Jesus in a personal experience kind of way. We have this relationship. We're doing life together. And so I know Jesus because I live in a relationship with him every day. See, this path isn't to approach God based on your achievements. It's to put your faith in Jesus and then approach God based on Jesus. And the goal isn't to be good enough to earn God's approval. No, Jesus is the goal, to really know Jesus. Not just know about him, but to really know Jesus. So what kind of person do we become along the way, right? Because, right, when we're on a path, it's changing who we are. Well, we become like Jesus, right? I mean, as we journey down the path, we get to be with Jesus. And in life, this is just the way it works, right? You tend to become like whatever it is that you're pursuing. And you tend to become like the people that you spend time with. And so if Jesus is what you're pursuing, that's the path, and that's the goal. And Jesus is who you're spending time with, and that's the path and the goal. Then you're going to find yourself becoming more and more like him. Not judgmental and unapproachable, but loving and life-giving. And what's the prize? There's a prize at the end of the path. What's the prize of path two? It's Jesus. It's getting to be with Jesus. As we journey down the path, we get to be with Jesus. And when this life is over, we get to be with Jesus in a more full way than we ever have before. Remember, if you've been here the last few weeks, we've looked at this verse where Paul, the author of this book of Philippians, kind of sums up his life, and he does it in like perfect Twitter form, like way under 140 characters. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, we'll put it on the screen again, he says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." It's better. He's like, heaven is not my goal. My goal isn't to go to heaven. My goal is Jesus. And so if my life is all about Jesus, and when I die, I just get to go to be with Jesus in a more full and real and personal way than I can in this life, then that's better, right? Do you see how different these paths are? And they are radically different, right? You can have a church full of people who are doing each path, and you may not maybe see the difference just by looking at them, but they are radically different. With path one, my confidence is in myself. The goal is to earn God's approval through my religious accomplishments. What I'm becoming along the way is holier than thou and judgmental, and the prize is supposed to be heaven, but actually this path cannot get me there. With path two, the path is based on confidence in Jesus. The goal is to know Jesus. What I become is more like Jesus, and the prize is Jesus. It's getting to be with Jesus. And listen, if you understand who Jesus is, well, like if you really know who Jesus is, then right now you're nodding your head because you totally understand why you would want your life to be all about Jesus. There's no one like him. There's nothing like him. Some of you may not know Jesus enough to know why you would want your life to be all about Jesus. Like maybe you're like, and this is a good thing because, like, what's so great about Jesus that I want my whole life to be about him? And if that's true, I understand. I was like that for half my life. I didn't know. But I would encourage you, get to know Jesus and you'll get it. You'll be like, why would I want my life to be about anything else? And so you can get to know Jesus by reading about him in the Bible. There's four books that go through his life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Maybe pick Mark or John, whatever, and just say, I'm going to read through this book and just start to get to know who Jesus is so I can decide for myself, is that really the path I want to be on? Do I want my path to be all about Jesus? So we've seen two paths, and hopefully you're realizing, man, I want to be on path two. I don't want to be on the religious path. I want to be on this Jesus path. But how do you do that? How do you get and stay on path two? And when you choose path two, how do you not start to go back to path one, which is really easy to do? Really easy to do, to jump on path two, say, okay, this is about Jesus, and then jump back to path one. Because honestly, there's some things that are really attractive about path one. Have you already been thinking that? There are some things that are really attractive about path one. Like, in path one, we get to accomplish things on our own. We like that. We like that. That's path one. We also like to measure how we're doing, right? Don't you like to know, how am I doing? What's my grade? That's path one. Right? You don't measure a relationship. Path one, you get to measure. We like measuring. We also like to feel like we're better than other people. Anybody not like to feel? We all like to feel like we're better than other people. I mean, you only feel that way on path one. You jump on path two, you realize, I can't feel like I'm better than anybody, right? None of this is based on me. And so there's going to be a lot of temptation. Just go back to path one. And so how do we get on path two, and more importantly, maybe stay on path two? Well, let's look at a few quick suggestions from Paul. It's kind of the rest of this chapter. So verses 12 through 14. He says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already taken or already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Okay, so suggestion one. Run one step at a time. Run one step at a time. This is a path. This is a journey. This isn't something you accomplish. It's something that you live. And you live it every day. That's why Paul says, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I haven't obtained all this yet, but I'm moving in the right direction. And I'm going to keep moving in the right direction. And so I just say focus one step at a time. It's like a marathon runner. You know, marathon runners will often break the race into smaller, manageable segments, right? Thinking of running 26.2 miles kind of feels overwhelming and discouraging. So runners will kind of say, you know what? I can take one more step. I can take another step. I can take another step until finally they arrive at the goal. In a similar way, Paul says, man, press on toward the goal. Just focus on today. The goal today, the goal today is to know Jesus. So how can I know Jesus better today? How could you know Jesus better today? You started good. You came to church, right? That's a step. You took a good step today already. How could you know Jesus better tomorrow? Okay, one step at a time. Suggestion number two comes from verse 17, where he says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. And so what he's saying is, man, have a positive example to follow. Paul is trying to encourage the Philippians to stay on path too, and he says, listen, just follow my example. Okay? Now, he's not being proud. He's not here saying that he's perfect. Remember, he had just said, not that I've already obtained all this. He's like, I'm not there yet, okay? So he's being humble about this, but he's like, listen, I am living my life for Jesus, and I am going in the right direction. Now, it is true that sometimes I get tripped up and I fall down. But when I do, I get back up and I keep moving in the right direction. And so follow me, and together we'll go down the right path in the right way. And that's powerful, isn't it? There's something really helpful about having an example to follow, right? Like I found when I need to go somewhere, like in my car, if someone says, let me give you directions, there's like a 50-50 chance I'm ever going to get there. I've got some dysfunction when it comes to directions. But if somebody jumps in their car and says, just follow me, 100%, right? I'm going to get there. There's something powerful about having an example to follow. And that's why it's important to come to church, not just to learn stuff from, you know, what's happening up on the stage, but to meet other people who are going on the same path, down the same direction, so that you can follow their example and be encouraged by them. It's why we have microgroups, which are 3 to 5 guys or 3 to 5 girls who get together once a week and drink coffee and share life together and talk and encourage each other. And it's because you find people in that group who are trying to go down the same path. And you say, man, let's encourage each other and follow each other's example. Do you have positive examples to follow? Do you have some people like that? Man, if you're going to stay on path 2, you need that. Suggestion 3 comes from verses 18 and 19. He says, For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. And so suggestion number 3 is don't follow negative examples. Okay, you need a positive example. Don't follow negative examples. So after saying, hey, follow me, Paul says, and don't follow them. And he points out some people. Now, notice, Paul says, I write this with tears. Okay, he's not being a judgmental jerk and saying those people. He's not being like that at all. I mean, he's like, it breaks my heart that these people are completely going in the wrong direction. But I have to point them out because they are claiming to follow Jesus, and they're trying to lead you astray. And you need to not follow them. And find a positive example and don't follow negative ones. And I wonder in your life if you have some people who it's really easy for you to kind of follow them. You find that when you're with them, it's like, man, I just completely went against everything that I want to be living my life for. And I just completely went off course because I was following their example. And you need to not do that. You need to stop. I'm not necessarily saying, you know, you can never see that person again, but you need to figure out how can I, if I have this person in my life, how can I not follow their example? Because my life is too important. You know, the path I'm on is too important. Where I end up in life and after this, like, it's all too important. And so I can't follow negative examples. Suggestion number 4, the last one, comes from verses 20 and 21 in the first verse of chapter 4. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I long and love and long for, my joy and crown. Stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Because in this life and living in this world, we go through a lot of crap, right? And so the suggestion here is basically, man, stay focused on the prize. Stay focused on the prize. Because no matter what path you choose in life, you're going to go through a lot of crap. It's going to get thrown at you. But here's the deal. If we stay on path two, we get crap, but we also get Jesus. We also get Jesus. In fact, we have this promise that he mentions that Jesus is going to return someday. And we don't know when that's going to happen. Is it going to happen during our life or after our life? It seems more likely after our life. We don't know. But we do know there is coming a day where Jesus is going to come and he's going to gather up everybody who chose path two and he's going to say, hey, that path leads to me and let's go and spend eternity in heaven together. And so even when we're going through crap, when it's difficult, we can just decide to stay focused on the prize because you want to stay on path two. You want to stay on path two. You know, in a sense, what path one does is it replaces a relationship with Jesus with a list. With a list, right? A list of things we cannot do and a list of things we should do and things rules we need to follow and traditions we need to adhere to and good works we need to accomplish. And I love lists. I'm all about lists, but I do not want to replace an actual, authentic, real, life-giving relationship with Jesus with a list. You do not want to replace a relationship with Jesus with a list. You don't want to die and present this religious resume of your accomplishments to God, you know, of, okay, here's the good things I did in my life, hoping that maybe you were good enough to get in. You don't want that. No, it's all about knowing Jesus. It's all about having a relationship with Jesus. And if you don't know him yet, we would love to help you with that. That's why our church exists, to help walk with people and help them find path two. That's why we have these services. Keep coming back. That's why we do Verve U courses. Man, start maybe attending some of those. That's why we have those microgroups. And we would love to help you with that. And if you're ready to have a relationship with Jesus, we'd love to talk to you about that and talk to you about how do you get on path two. We'd love to talk to you about that. What does it look like to put your faith in Jesus for the first time? You know, to kind of jump off path one and onto path two. Next Sunday and Monday night, we're doing baptisms. And baptism is what it looks like to do that. When a person has this new faith in Jesus and makes this decision, I want Jesus, I want path two, the Bible says the next step is to get baptized. Baptism is a person being lowered underwater and then raised out of water, which is weird, right? But the symbolism is that, like, I had this old life, path one, and I'm going to bury it, and then I'm going to be raised out to this new life, kind of almost like I was resurrected to a new life on path one, where I'm going to live with and for Jesus. Do you want to hear something really interesting? In the Bible, we have thousands of examples of people getting baptized. And of all those thousands of examples, every single person who gets baptized on the very first day that they hear about Jesus. The very first day that they go, oh, there's this Jesus, and there's this offer from God, and he wants to love me, and he wants to have a relationship with me. The first day they get baptized, everybody except for one person who waits 3 days. And what that's showing us is baptism is not something you get yourself ready for. It's not something that you get yourself right for. You know, I need to get my life right, and then I'll get back. That's not baptism at all. Baptism is something you do as soon as you put your faith in Jesus and make a decision for him. It's how you begin that relationship. It's how you jump on path two. And maybe some of you are ready to begin. Or maybe you already believe. You're like, I've always considered myself on path two. You know, I have this relationship with Jesus, but I've actually never taken that step of getting baptized. Either way, if that's you, it's time for you to get baptized. And if you are thinking about that, you can talk to me after the service. I'll be back there. There are other people at this end of the Velcro bar, and we have a sign-up sheet for the baptisms. And if you sign up that on there, it's not necessarily saying you're going to do it. It's saying, I'm thinking about it, like, call me or email me and let's talk. So we've been giving you an assignment each week to write on these tweet walls. And we've been kind of giving you an assignment so that you can go over there and respond to the assignment. And it's just kind of a cool way, I think, to express yourself and to share with others. And here's this week's assignment. It's kind of different because in the past it's been like all different things you might respond. Here's today's assignment. If you have in the past or are today choosing for the first time Jesus, then go over and write on that wall, I choose Jesus. If you have in the past, or if today maybe for the first time you're saying, I want to be on path two, I want a relationship with Jesus, just go around that wall in a minute, I choose Jesus. If you're not there yet, man, do I understand. If you're like, I'm not ready to choose Jesus, dude, I get it. When I was a completely unchurched college student and first encountered all this Jesus stuff, I was not ready. I was like, bruh. And it took me months and months before I was finally ready to go, okay, this is real, and I want to put my faith in Jesus. And so if you're not there yet, we understand, and we really honor that at Verve. But if you are there, if sometime in the past or maybe today you're like, I want it, and I'm ready, I know, I got it, then go over there in a minute when we start the song and write, I choose Jesus. And listen, if you write that on the wall and you've never been baptized by your choice because you want to do it, that's the next step. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, I think we have it on the screen, he said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So if you write, I choose Jesus, and never been baptized, really, Jesus would say, that's your next step. If you're not there yet, if you're like, no, not me, not ready, maybe write this. You don't have to. You can just stay in your seat but while the song's playing. But if you want, maybe go over there and write the word searching. Searching, not necessarily as a declaration, but almost like a prayer. And I realize you might be like, I don't even know if I believe in prayer. Almost like a prayer just to say, you know what? I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. But if this is real, I'd like to know. If that's the path I should be on, I want to find that out. So for now, what I'm doing is I'm searching. All right? During this time, as the band plays and you have the chance to write in those walls, we also have communion available if you'd like to take it. It's on the tables around the room. And the idea is that because we could never be good enough, Jesus came and was good enough. And then Jesus died on a cross, taking all our sins away so that we could be made perfect in God's sight, because you have to be perfect to be in a relationship with God or get into heaven. And through the cross, we are made perfect if we put our faith in Jesus. He said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And so in communion, we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. We thank him for it. So if you'd like to do that, you can. I'm going to pray, and then we'll give you guys a couple, 2-3 minutes as the band plays, and then we will wrap this up. Let's pray. God, as we think about all this, my guess is that there are probably more of us than we realize who are really on the religious path. Maybe there are some people in this room today who are like, I haven't been to church in years. I'm clearly not religious. But that doesn't mean you're not religious. Religion means I'm putting my confidence in myself. And if there's a God, if there's a heaven, then I am going to get in there or not get in there based on what I've done in my life. That's religion. God, there are probably some people who go to church and it's like, yeah, I'm about Jesus. But really, if we looked at our life, we'd realize, man, my approach is much more of a religious approach. It's not just about knowing Jesus and putting my faith in him. It's about trying to be good and trying to earn something and trying to make sure I don't do the bad things and I do the good things. And I hope I'm good enough. And that's religion. God, I pray that today we jump. I pray we jump from path two to path one, and we just are thankful for Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, and we choose Jesus and to put our faith and our confidence in him, and we start to live out this daily relationship with him that is life-changing and makes us into loving and life-giving people. God, I pray all these things in his name. Amen.